Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our appointed psalm for Thanksgiving Day, Psalm 67. And our focus this morning is going to be on verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all of the blessings that you pour into our lives. We are thankful for the blessing of gathering together to hear the word of your Son, Jesus Christ, the good news that he is. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith in him is strong and that faith overflows in love toward all people. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Yeah, you can go ahead. Yes, it's Thanksgiving Day, and probably what that means for most of us, if not all of us, is that after we're done, later on during the day, we're going to sit down to what we call the spread, right? You're going to gather everyone around tables, and there's going to be dish after dish after dish after dish after dish, and you're just going to stuff yourselves, right? And enjoy family, enjoy the food, enjoy all the blessings in your lives, right? Now, the thing is that as you sit down to this feast, you are merely mimicking the first Thanksgiving all the way back with the Plymouth Pilgrims back in the day, when they all sat down to a feast with their Native American neighbors, and they were praising God, thanking him for the blessings that he had given them. Now, of course, they had many things to be thankful for, not just the food. They were celebrating the harvest there. They were also celebrating that they were alive. It had been the harsh winter of their lives, and not many of them had made it. But they had had a successful harvest. They were enjoying the food and praising God because of it. So our Thanksgiving is meant to mimic that. As we sit down with family, with friends, and with a feast of food, we are to praise God, give thanks to him for the harvest of blessings that he has given us in our lives. But there's something I've noticed about Thanksgiving. And even in the world and in the church, it seems like most of our Thanksgiving is centered and focused on the harvest of physical blessings that our Lord has given us. And we're definitely thankful for them, right? Oh, yeah, we're thankful for them. Martin Luther was thankful for them as well. In fact, I love his lyrical explanations in his small catechism of the physical blessings that the Lord has given us. You know, like the first article of the Apostles' Creed, he's given us food and drink, house and home, wife and kids, land, animals, and all that I have. He's given me my life. And then later on in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where he talks about daily bread. He's like, what is this daily bread? Well, it's everything to deal with the needs of the body, you know. And he once again lists food and drink, house, home, a devout husband, a devout spouse, devout workers, good government, health, and the like. And the list goes on and on and on. We give thanks for these things, right? Oh, yeah. And it's when we have these things, we definitely are thankful to God for these blessings that he gives to us. But when we lack any of those things, do we give thanks to God? What happens when the harvest is not so good? What happens when you don't have food or drink or house or home, clothing, shoes, and on and on? What happens when you don't have good government? What happens when you don't have good relationships? What happens when your health is just not there? In fact, it's failing fast. What happens if you lack life itself? In other words, what happens even when you are sitting down to this spread later on today, and yet there are so many things that you can think of that you don't actually have? How can you thank God when there is no harvest? That brings us to our text, Psalm 67. And this psalm, at first, seems to be a psalm of thanksgiving, of praise to God for the physical blessings that he pours out in the lives of God's people. I mean, take a look at verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. Sounds like the harvest, right? Sounds like, all right, we planted, it grew up, we're good to go, we had a good harvest, let's praise God. In fact, scholars believe that this psalm was specifically written for the harvest festival that the Israelites celebrated every year. But then it goes on to say, God, our God, shall bless us. So, they're giving thanks. They're giving thanks for the physical blessings that the harvest has given to them, that God has given to them. But when you look at the psalm as a whole, you start to notice other blessings come to the surface. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Sound familiar? Yeah. Sounds like the benediction, the Aaronic benediction from Numbers chapter 6, in which the Lord is blessing his people as they are about to be settled into the promised land. But do you see what's going on here? God is gracious to us. Wow. God has chosen them as his people, and not because of them. Not because of how special they were. Oh, they had, you know, something special inside of them. They were a big group of people, more numerous than others, had great big armies and a lot of, you know, skills and abilities. No, he's gracious to them. He picked them because of him, because of his love, because of his grace toward them. But then the psalm goes on to say that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. See, the blessings of the Lord are meant to be for all people. The blessings that the people of Israel had received were meant to actually show the world just how gracious God actually was to them. The blessings of Israel were also the blessings for everyone. So in the end, this psalm is not only a thanksgiving praise for the physical blessings of the harvest, but is also thanksgiving for the harvest of sinners saved by the gospel. Fast forward to the Gospel of John in chapter 4, when Jesus is in Samaria, you know, the hated Samaritans, right? And he has this conversation with this Samaritan woman at the well, and they are having this very deep, meaningful, spiritual conversation, and eventually it gets to the point where Jesus reveals to her, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the one sent to save my people. And she goes back into the village to go tell the people. And here come the disciples who have gone into town to get some food. And they're like, you know, Master, here, it's been a long journey. Why don't you eat something? And he says, I have food that you know nothing about. Of course, their disciples, they're like, great, happy Thanksgiving, you know. Gee, we got you this feast here and you don't want to eat it. What's going on? Did someone bring him food here? And here's what Jesus says. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And then he points the disciples to the crowds that are coming up toward them. And he says, do you not say 4 more months until the harvest? I tell you, the harvest is ready right now. There was a harvest right there as the Samaritans believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Fast forward to Acts chapter 2, the Feast of Pentecost, right? Now, Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks, and it was to celebrate the first fruits of the barley harvest. But look what happened on this day. The Spirit comes down upon the apostles, and they start speaking in all kinds of different languages from all over the known world. And people are like, what is going on here? And Peter stands up and he says, this is the last days. This is when the Spirit is poured out on all people. And as he finishes it, as he finishes his great message to the people, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. And 3,000 people believed in Jesus and were baptized. Harvest of people. It had changed. The barley harvest had now become the harvest of souls. Fast forward to today. And I'm looking at the harvest. You see, we give thanks to the Lord each and every day because we are his harvest. The way of the Lord has been made known to you and me. The way of grace for the sinner. The way of salvation for those who are unable to save themselves. The way of love for the unlovable. And this saving power has come among us because the Lord has come down upon the earth and he has suffered for you and for me. He was beaten, he was flogged, he had a crown of thorns shoved into his scalp, and then he was crucified on the cross. He was nailed there and he shed his blood. And as Jesus himself described it, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But once it dies, it produces abundant fruit. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and he has produced an abundant harvest. He judges all of us with equity. We are all sinners who deserve condemnation, and yet we are all shown the same grace in Jesus Christ. He has not counted any of our sins against us. Instead, he has given us his righteousness, his forgiveness, and his salvation. Don't you see that the psalm, the prayer has been answered? The earth has yielded its increase. We have believed. We have been baptized. We have been saved. God has been gracious to us. God has blessed us. His face is shining upon us even now with the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his abundant harvest. But here once again, the beginning of this psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. You see, that's our prayer as God's people. That the blessings of the harvest that we have received may be experienced by all people everywhere, so that they may give thanks for his harvest. You see, the blessings that we receive in our Lord Jesus Christ, they're not a source of pride. Oh, look at us. We've been saved. We're the Christians. We're awesome. And the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not meant to be kept to ourselves. The gospel is not our private property to hoard for ourselves. No. Instead, the blessings of Jesus Christ that he has given to us is a witness of just how good God is to everyone, how gracious he is to everyone, how he saves every single person. And that witness, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that you and I can give thanks always, even when we lack the harvest of physical blessings, even when we lack all the clothing and shoes and food and drink, even when we lack all of life's pleasures, we can still give thanks to God for the blessings he gives us in Jesus Christ. There was a biblical kind of teacher and author named F.E. Marsh back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He was a prolific writer, and I came across a list of blessings that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to them and see that they have absolutely nothing to do with any physical blessing we may have. He says we have an acceptance that can never be questioned, an inheritance that can never be lost, a deliverance that can never be excelled, a grace that can never be limited, a hope that can never be disappointed, a bounty that can never be withdrawn, a joy that need never be diminished, a nearness to God that can never be reversed, a peace that can never be disturbed, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a salvation that can never be canceled. Because we have all of this in Jesus Christ, we can always give thanks to God. Always. So, I pray you enjoy your Thanksgiving Day harvest, whatever is on your table, whoever is around your table. I pray that you truly have a blessed Thanksgiving. But I also pray, above all else, that you give thanks to Jesus, giving thanks that you are part of his harvest. And I pray that his harvest continues through your praise to him for his salvation. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.